All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us on our podcast today. My name is Kip Lambert, the brand ambassador for Destinations, the experts in incentive travel planning. And today on our podcast, we're really, really excited to have in the room with me for the first time. I've always done these by calls, but in the room with me today is a really good friend, a mentor in the industry. He's been everywhere. He's done everything. And he is the expert in event gifting experiences. So I'd like to welcome Jonathan Richards from Maui Jim with me today.
Thank you, Kip. Glad to be here. Excited.
So great to have you. So, you know, first things first, we can all hear in your accent, you must be from East Texas.
You know, you're absolutely right. You beat me to the punch there. Lived in Dallas now for 17 years, but as clearly you can tell, originally from the United Kingdom, and have been living in Texas now for, 17 years. So trying not to lose the accent.
Oh, that is incredible. So what part of the UK are you from?
Originally the far southwest of Cornwall. So for any of you out there who watch PBS television and the serial called Poldark, all of that landscape is where I grew up.
It's just beautiful, beautiful country. It's actually a place I've never been in the UK.
Oh, it's a special place. There's no doubt about it. I have very fond memories of an idyllic childhood.
Well, cool. So, you know, in our industry and just to create an amazing event, you know, you've got to have the cornerstones of just an amazing location, both in either a country or, you know, a city. But then you've got, you know, picking the correct resort that fits the profile of your group, whether it be high end, high energy. You know, we're here in Salt Lake City, just at the foothills of just some amazing ski resorts. So some groups are going to gravitate towards adventure skiing. We're sitting in a room today that we have themed in our office. It's New Zealand. We got pictures of bungee jumpers hanging on the wall. You know, you got to choose your location according to, you know, really what the demographic of your group is. And you know, with gifting experiences on these incentive trips, it's really the same. So Jonathan, you've got an awesome history in gifting experiences. I guess I kind of got off track there. For you, how long have you been in the industry? Where did you get started? And why did you gravitate towards gifting experiences?
Well, great question. And without making this war and peace in the interview, my background is in five-star luxury hotels. I think I found myself there because my mother and father owned a 10-bedroom guest house in Cornwall in the far southwest of England. So I grew up in the food and beverage industry. Moved to London, worked in outside sports hospitality, was lucky enough to work on several Open Championship golf tournaments. Was Assistant Operations Director of Catering on the Ryder Cup in 89 at the Belfry. And then found my way into the opening team of the Langham Hilton in London in 1991.
That's a great hotel.
And, you know, of course, now that's part of Langham International. I moved from there to the Park Lane Hotel, which at the time was the last independent Grand Dame Hotel in London until it was acquired by ITT Sheraton. We all know what happened to ITT, that came Starwood, now Marriott. And I moved from operations. I was a banqueting director and eventually got into sales. And somebody came to me one day and said, "We'd like you to look after the incentive group sales in Europe and North America."
What is that?
That's sort of what I said. I felt like this schoolboy in short trousers. What's the incentive market? And a great friend I'd met through sight, a gentleman who is sadly no longer with us, Kevin Ford, who used to be with Swiss Air. There was no competition between an airline and me as a hotelier. And he said, "I'm going to fax you a list. I'm going to fax you a list of the key contacts of the major incentive houses in the Midwest of the U.S. So I get this fax, and the first name on the list is Jerry Bevay at BI. And I remember shaking, dialing Jerry's number. And this is way back when. I mean, we're talking, you know, quite some years ago now, 95, 96. And I remember having this great chat, and that's how it all started. And I remember coming to Chicago for my first ITNME and standing on the Starwood booth, hoping that business would just roll up and write me a purchase order, and how times have changed. And from that, I got to know a lot of great people in the US, and one of those was a great company in Dallas called Galactic, a full-service incentive house, and their owners, Bill Vasteen and Dan Mohawk, were very gracious to invite me to join their company back in 2002. And so over I came with my wife, and I was senior vice president of sales and marketing with them for 6 years before we parted company. And at which point I found myself at a loose end, wondering what was next. And I got a phone call from Brett Hatch at Maui Jim, and he said, "I think I might have something for you to look at." I said, "I don't know if my ego can cope with that, Brett. I mean, I've been dealing with, you know, I'm senior vice president on my business card, right? And then you want me to be the British sunglass guy in Dallas." But I can tell you now, 11 years later, best decision.
Has it been 11 years?
Best decision I ever made. Great company, great spirit, great team, great leadership. So, yeah, I've been truly blessed.
That's great. So when you're just maybe getting into your hotel background, did you find, as you got into the industry, especially maybe in the food and beverage, you were seeing how you were affecting the experience of the guest? And you know, can you tell us about ways where maybe that helped form your personal credo about taking care of guests? And, you know, maybe tell us maybe some personal experiences.
I think just a couple. I think we're thinking back to the times at the Park Lane Hotel. You know, the Park Lane Hotel is on Piccadilly in London. Its most famous asset, in my opinion, is the ballroom, because all of the walls, I don't know if still today, but I'd be shocked if it's changed because it's a Grade II listed building, are covered in platinum leaf that is hand-painted on. So it's not an expensive exercise to refurbish that facility. It could do a beautiful gala dinner for 500 people. But I remember doing this event for Blockbuster. And the reason I tell this story, because Blockbuster are no longer in business, but...
No, hold up. Did you see the recent article? There's one Blockbuster in America still open in Bend, Oregon.
Of course you would say that as soon as I say that, right? So the reason I say this is that I think the heart of the matter is creativity.
Yeah.
Creativity is really, in the incentive travel business, I think is absolutely key. And I remember this evening that the client had elected to print the menu. Now, in the old days in the banqueting department, if a client decided to do that, you would always ask them for a copy of the menu so that what the chef in the hotel thought he was preparing
was smashed up,
right?
Yeah.
So we hadn't got a copy of this menu until they arrived with the menus early that evening. And it's all themed to new released movies. And there's this extra course on the menu, which is like Interview with the Vampire or something from memory, right? Well, the chef... it's not on the chef's menu, and everything is themed to each of these movies. So I remember Chef, oh God, Andrew, he went out the back, he's looking in the fridge and everything, and he said, "Look, I've got all this amazing seafood. I can make this seafood velouté and just fabulous." And then he got the pastry chef to cut puff pastry shapes in the shape of coffins so that when they rose in the oven, they all looked like miniature coffins.
No way.
So he made this hot seafood concoction and then put the puff pastry coffin on the top.
My goodness.
And so, you know, on the fly in food and beverage, I mean, usually like more planning than that, but creativity. And you know, if you get to work with the right executive chef, because there are executive chefs and executive chefs, that they can be some of the most creative people to work with. They can be difficult to work with, and they can be amazingly creative to work with.
So basically, the client just had this extra course, didn't explain to the chef. Did he have any point where he had to go to them and say, "What do you want?" Or did he just run with it?
No, from what I can remember now, I mean, as I get older, I forget, you know, more.
You know, and that's probably exactly what happened. I mean, really, that's where some of these 5-star hotels just do it so well.
Right.
Is that they see... They see, it's almost like seeing the stitches on a curveball, right? The guest is maybe not, I mean, they are asking for it, right? It's on the menu, but really what I mean is that really the art in crafting or creating an amazing experience is also anticipating that unexpressed wish. I think, you know, it's Ritz-Carlton's famous for just really listening to guests. You know, there was one time where I was at the Four Seasons Hualalai, and I was sitting around a conference table doing a pre-convention meeting. It was a day before the group arrived. We were just going over all the banquet event orders, making sure all of our whole event was lined up. And, you know, the meeting was winding down, and they said, "Mr. Lambert, where are you going next?" And I said, "Well, I'm headed out to the airport to to greet my my VIPs because they're flying in a day today, and obviously the rest of the group's coming the next day. And they said, perfect. We broke up the meeting. I went upstairs, went to present my valet ticket to the valet, and my car was sitting on the curb. You know, and it's one of those things where it's one of those wow moments where it didn't cost them a thing. But they listened very intently to that unexpressed desire or wish that I had. I mean, obviously they knew I was going to need my car, and they just took that as marching orders to just bring the car up without me asking. And here I am talking about it today just because it's an example of anticipatory service, or it's a way of just going above and beyond.
Well, I think good hoteliers, and certainly in the convention services side of the business, have a duty to the client to allow the client to ask them pretty much for anything. If you don't ask, you don't get. I mean, back in the days when the Langham opened, you know, former part of the BBC, the Bush House is just opposite there on Portland Place in London, and beautiful 300-plus bedroom hotel that reopened on March the 4th, 91. It's sort of ingrained when you open a five-star hotel on your psyche, and it still is to this day. We were approached by a very wealthy businessman who actually turned out to be an Arab arms dealer by the name of Adnan Khashoggi, whose daughter was to be married.
Oh, wow.
And he wanted us to close the Palm Court that was adjacent to the ballroom for the wedding. He wanted us to take the fountain that was in the Palm Court and turn it off, fill it with ice, and fill it with shrimp. All right. So that all happened, right? Because, well, why wouldn't it? If it was going to be a lavish affair. It was great PR for the hotel. I mean, in those early days, we had, you know, the Princess of Wales coming. We had Liza Minnelli, Michael Caine. These were great public relations pieces. And we also decided that it would be smart to put a kosher license in the hotel. So that was an interesting experience, which led us to be, you know, the latest and hottest hotel to cater for kosher weddings. So that was a that was a fabulously interesting experience. Having worked in Israel, I was able to use some of that knowledge to help with that. The great thing about weddings, as an aside and a joke, as I'll say, is, you know, if it all goes according to plan, it should never be repeat business.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's exactly right. So at the beginning of this, I kind of jumped ahead of myself. You know, in the incentive travel business, it's super important to have those pillars of, you know, choosing a good location for your group, making sure it fits that demographic. You know, it's also a good idea to switch things up. Sometimes you're going to go to a tropical location 1 year, then you'd go to a London, Paris, or something more cultural the next. But, you know, creating and crafting experiences while on these incentive travel experiences is important, where you're going to go out and do something that is totally different. And that could be, you know, if you're in London, you know, one of my favorite things to do there is renting the vintage Mini Coopers and doing a caravan through, you know, taking them around town, and then, you know, just ending in a fantastic place for fish and chips, for just a simple kind of London type day, to where it's something that people won't forget. So the other thing that we love to preach is that a gifting experience is a whole nother way to bring wow to an event. And you've been doing that now with Maui Jim for a long time. And so, you know, for you, you know, what makes you so passionate about gifting experiences?
Well, you know, when I was working at Galactic as an incentive house, clearly, as you today do at Destinations, you're working with customers to create these experiences. Now, all being well, you know, they're aware that you have more than the ability to choose the destination and execute on site and create that piece. If they're smart, they'll listen to you about, you know, what should the rules structure look like? What objectives are you trying to get out of running this program? Allow us to look at your rules structure. Make sure that if we have the right rules structure and we market this program efficiently to the participant audience, then you're going to get that incremental revenue drive that really is probably the key piece. Because look, if you don't have a good rule structure and if you don't have good marketing of it, then it doesn't really matter how sexy the destination is.
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody's going to qualify.
Right.
So it doesn't matter that it's Bora Bora if nobody got excited during the qualification period. And the same is true on site with a gifting experience, right? Because not all gifting experiences are created equally. You know, we all have very beautiful sell sheets, but it's really what's behind the curtain where the rubber meets the road. And what a lot of clients often don't realize until you sit down with them is that the on-site gifting experience is an amazing touch point for senior executives of the sponsoring company to glad hand all of their top performers and spouses. It is also, by definition, certainly in the Maui gym realm, because anybody who's been in front of the Maui gym sunglass experience, there is a buzz.
Yeah.
It's like a team building. But it's a great social equalizer. Because let's face it, there are a lot of spouses often on programs who don't know everybody else. Yes, a lot of the salespeople might know their colleagues, but a lot of the spouses may not know each other, and they may be daunted by that. Well, the sunglass experience, or whichever experience, can be a great social equalizer. Oh, how do I look in these? Oh, who are you? Where are you from? And so there's this other piece of it that's actually as important as giving a gift of wow. I mean, I always think, I mean, you mustn't lose sight of the fact that, yes, location, location, location is imperative to that destination piece you mentioned earlier. But as it relates to the gifting piece, you mustn't lose sight of choosing something that is practical.
Yeah.
I mean, you never really want to hear, well, I would suggest you never really want to hear, that the participants re-gifted their gifts to their brothers, sisters, mothers, uncles, aunts, or that they left it behind in the hotel room. I mean, that would defeat, in my mind, the marketing objectives of the program, right? So a practical gift that's going to be used, associated with the sponsor. Because look, I'm a participant in our own incentive travel program called Kahuna Club. And we all know, for those of us who participate, how much work we have to put in to qualify. So if the reward, whether it's merchandise or a trip or whatever it is not aligned with the amount of work we've put in to have to qualify, there's a total disconnect between gift giver and recipient. And so it's imperative. I mean, I can say, if I worked for you and I came into you and to Rick's office and say, Rick, I've just jeopardized a $3 million travel program because I didn't help the client choose the right gift experience. Well, I probably wouldn't be in the building too much longer, right? So we know we're only a small component of an overall program, but that doesn't mean that we're not an important part of a program.
Yeah, well, that's some awesome points. You know, the gifting experience, I think, just hits on so many levels. And, you know, I've experienced that social connection that you're talking about. You know, it is true. You typically have the qualifier bringing a guest, spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. But, you know, they are typically people that don't have those touch points. And they are brought together for that experience, and that's wonderful. And I think you were about to touch on, you know, CEOs, you know, C-level execs, that they go on the trip. It's been so fun to see them almost stand behind the table.
Yes.
And maybe not assisting with the fitting, but they're there talking to each person as they come up. And it gives, like you said, gives them a great, really great touch point. So you and I did, and you may not, can't remember if you were on site with me on this one, but we did one down at, with Rebecca Riggs down at Grand Place Americana.
Yeah, yeah.
And Samsung was a sponsor. It was a cell phone company distributor that was doing their own incentive trip for their managers. And they had done such a great amount of business with Samsung. Samsung came to us and said, what's a great gift that we can give? And I remember it was like, well, you want to give something that's going to have pop. It's going to be some Maui gems. We hooked them up with you. And that Samsung rep was the main rep for the U.S. And, you know, he's kind of a high-level guy. He doesn't really have touch points with all these store managers from all across America. But he knows their sales figures, right? Because he knows the market. He knows what markets are doing well. He knows what sales managers have, like, really spiked the business in Samsung. And, you know, it was really cool to stand by him as he was there at the sunglass fitting. And there was this manager of this small town, like Des Moines, Iowa, AT&T reseller. And the Samsung rep heard his name and recognized it from probably some sales sheet, you know, a scorekeeping of where this guy was at, knew who this manager was, pulled him aside, and was able to just like, are you enjoying the trip? You know, we're so grateful for your production. You know, did you know that in the Midwest you were the top store to sell Samsung products, and I'm so grateful for that. And it was cool to see this connection with this kind of this homegrown Des Moines, Iowa boy who really never have a chance to meet an executive of a big company like Samsung. And here he's being treated lavishly on this trip, all-inclusive resort, everything's included, loves the location, and now he's being given a high-class gift, Maui Jim sunglasses with a major retail value from an executive of Samsung. And I remember talking to this young man, and it was like, this was the best trip ever.
Right.
You know, my girlfriend saw me talking to the Samsung guy, and he handed me my sunglasses, and we talked for 10 minutes, and that was just a cool way to see that personal connection happen.
Well, I think if C-suite executives did more of that, because, yeah, the trip cost money, right? There was an investment, definitely, on behalf of the sponsor. But the piece you just talked about, them making themselves available to shake the hand of the participant and say a few words. Look, in a sales capacity, recognition is important. And rightly or wrongly, recognition is fleeting.
Yeah.
Right? Your moment in the spotlight is on stage being announced. And 60 seconds later, you know, what have you done for me lately?
The next guy is being called up
right
on the stage.
So it is fleeting. So for that young man to have his hand shaken by a senior executive of Samsung, that's a big deal. Now, the reality is it costs the executive from Samsung nothing to do that. But the value around it, I don't know if it can be measured in terms of the loyalty that will now come from that participant.
Well, loyalty is a good point. Like, if you think about this guy going back to his store in Des Moines, Iowa, and the next time somebody's coming in and they really don't know what product they want, right? And if the price points for certain phones are similar.
Oh, you know where he's going,
where
right?
Is he going to go?
Oh, absolutely.
Where is he going to push that? And so, you know, you're not pushing a ton of cell phones off the shelves with that personal connection, but you're pushing way more towards Samsung in that case.
Probably.
In Des Moines, Iowa, than you are anywhere else.
I'd say it's a fair bet.
Yeah. So it is a cool way to do that. And I think, you know, companies will do themselves well, too, in having their executives be a part of these gifting experiences, because it is a social experience. It should be. You know, and I think that you can do well in doing a gifting experience that's sent to somebody's room. And you're not hurt by that, by somebody going to the room and being surprised. But in your experience...
Oh, well, that, you know, that's a different animal. There's absolutely a place for the generic surprise pillow gift,
yeah.
All right, that can work for everybody. I mean, if you're in Sicily, you know, what is wrong with getting back to the room and there's a beautiful cookbook of Sicilian recipes? Absolutely, and that's something you can do for everybody. But obviously, when it comes to certain brands and certain products, it's important that there's a choice. I mean, in the sunglass field, because interestingly enough, after recent IRF studies and also the Site Incentive Summit Americas that took place at the Montage in Park City,
yeah,
that Rick was in attendance for, you know, it became clearly evident that sunglasses as a gift experience, whichever brand, is still the number one gift, way beyond any other experience,
wow,
other product, right? And because of its practicality and all of that good stuff. So it's important to remember that when you're choosing the gift, that you don't lose sight of that piece of it. And I've sort of lost my train of thought there, that you know, as I go around in circles. But to pillow gifts, the choice piece. In the sunglass arena, if you think about this, everybody's facial shape is different.
Okay. Right? Yeah, and I was going there in my
head.
And
so, yes, it's, I mean, you will have clients phone you and say, oh, I want to, Jonathan, I want to buy 50 pairs of the Hoakipa style that you make. I say, you know, Kip, I'd love to write that business, but let me tell you why we are not allowed to. A, everybody's facial shape is different, so that style won't be appropriate to everybody you give it to. As a result, they're not going to think very highly of you. It's going to reflect poorly on you as the gift giver, and it's going to reflect poorly on us as a brand. So in our world, over 20 years, we know that the display tray, you know of us, has 18 stars because we found over 20 years that 18 is the sweet spot number.
Cool.
Anything less, not quite enough choice. Anything more,
it's too much.
Too much. Too onerous. I can't make my mind up. Yeah. Right. So we've arrived at that number. We give choice, so that accomplishes the goal of facial shape. And then we ship twice as many new glasses as the size of the group representative of the collection chosen. So that as you arrive at the pair that you like, we put that back in the tray, that's the demo, and then we pull that brand new pair from fresh product, put it in the case with the logo on, and the participant walks away right there and then. So instant gratification. Like, you know what? We all love.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going too, is when I think back on these fittings that we've done with you, I've loved how, well, you're always very complimentary of my look and my the shape of my face. But as I've noticed, your people must be trained in different shapes of faces, because I feel like everybody that we've had from Maui Jim on one of our events that looks at people, they'll try on glasses, and your representatives will say, "Hey, that looks good.
But try this."
But with the shape of your face, why don't you try this one? And they'll try those on, and they'll keep handing them pairs that go with their facial shape, that provides not only just the element of choice of 18 different things to choose from, but that there's somebody that has done this so many different times that can give them a range of options that'll fit them a little bit better.
It's really one of the key elements of the of our fitting experience, is that the person or the event associates who are delivering the experience are full-time employees of Maui Jim. And we think there is a huge benefit to that, because our ownership have said, look, we want participants on these events. If they have any questions about the brand, whether it's about lens colors, what does polarization mean? Oh, I'm a prescription eye wearer. They've said, look, we want knowledgeable answers given to the. They deserve a knowledgeable answer, right? So it is mandatory that when we come to you to help you with an event, it's our staff who can be knowledgeable in their answers, their advice. Oh, try this style. You know, over a time of doing it, I can tell you, you can look at somebody and go, well, I know what I would like to see them in, and we just have to get them to try them on, and we'll get to that point. And
yeah, I mean, I've even been on an event where you've told somebody flat out that that's not this style's not for you.
I usually say it's the Brit in me.
Yeah.
They say, "Oh, be honest with me. Oh, don't worry about that." Don't worry.
And you know, I think people love that. They love that level of honesty, because there's plenty to choose from, and you know, they want to have feedback on what they're choosing.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think of other times where I've had gifting experiences where it has been an actual sunglass, and the idea was to put the company's branding on it, you know, put the logo on there. And I think that that's the same thing that you talked about, as far as like, hey, Jonathan, send me 50 pair of the same style. And the company sent that out as the pillow gift, the room drop. The very next day we had this catamaran excursion, and it was probably 10% were breaking out that actual pair of branded, and they were on the nicer end. They were probably in the $60 to $70 range glasses. Right. But, you know, when you look at that investment.
Yeah, it's a disconnect. Now, what I would say is there is actually a place for that. Okay, so you going back to creativity. I remember a program, I'm not sure which one of my colleagues' programs it was, but years ago, the sponsoring company had room dropped a pair of Blues Brothers $5, $2
yeah.
sunglasses, right? So everybody's wondering, why have I got these? Well, it said, you need to bring these with you to the opening session tomorrow morning. So everybody came down with their Blues Brothers $2.99
yeah.
sunglasses. But what they didn't realize as they walked into the room and they saw the whole Maui Jim setup was the cheap sunglasses were their redemption voucher.
No way.
So they would trade in the Blues Brothers and they would get their Maui Jim. So that was a marketing promo
sort of spiv,
to create discussion and what's going on and what as opposed to just a voucher.
Almost made it a costume to get into the event to have those on, and then that's a fun way to
right. So really, you know, there are times, but you know, back to your pillow gift thing, there's absolutely a place for that. It's just not the place for something like our brand.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably either I'm leading you or you're leading me into the value of, and you touched on it a little bit earlier, you know, giving a gift on these trips where it's something that they know the immediate value of the gift. So it's choosing something that's high end that they're going to take home, that if they have tight space in their suitcase, they're going to make room for it to get it home,
right,
or their backpack or whatever. You know, we've done on a Fiji trip last year, a really good hit was a Bose little Bluetooth speaker. And it's, you know, it's hard to describe how big it is just on audio, but the small little speaker fits in your backpack, takes a really great charge, and Bose is just really well known for pumping out some amazing sound. We use it when we create on our days where we're creating documents, travel documents to be mailed out to our groups. Our team uses this tiny little speaker to play music for everybody to listen to, and it fills the room. And because it's Bose, because it's small, and because there's an area on the back that can be easily branded. It really made for a nice gift, and people still talk about that. And as I've visited clients that were on that trip, you know, I'll see that speaker sitting on their desk in their office and other places. So it's something that they've brought home. So talk to me a little bit about gifting experiences in general and how value really plays a role in that.
Well, you know, nowadays with the advent of the internet and the access online in real time to discovering the true value of the gift you're about to be given at any given event means that participants are doing real-time research. Oh, I just walked in and I'm getting this brand. Oh, well, how much is that? Well, you know, luckily at Maui Jim, we are very protective of brand integrity, so you will not find us discounted at retail. If you find us discounted at retail or anywhere online, it's probably diverted channel product, and we have a department that's dedicated to playing whack-a-mole. You know, I mean, it's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge, right? But as a result, people will find that, oh, gee, you didn't know Maui Jim, you know, retail, $169 to $449. There's a high perceived value, right? Conversely, if I'm going online and I find that the sunglass brand that you're giving away is all on sale at Nordstrom Rack or wherever Sunglass had at $90, and you've paid $150 for the collection, well, now there is a disconnect between gift giver and recipient because, oh, you didn't think very highly of us to give us a, you know, because their perception is I put a lot of work in to be here and you're giving me, you know, a lot of clients fall foul of, you know, I give lots of gifts. We often hear that. Oh, I can't afford to do one gift because I've been used to giving out four or five cheaper gifts. But that if you actually take that overall budget, you could actually do a really nice gifting experience with whichever brand, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, oh yeah, I've been giving sunscreen and towels and, well, you know, nobody thanks you for that nowadays, not least because they're all bulky in the day and age of luggage allowance being more onerous than it's ever been.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we don't give big crystal awards out overseas or all of that like we used to. So, there are a lot of things that one has to look at when it comes to which gift do I choose. How practical is it? What do I do for the guys? What do I do for the girls? Right? That's an annual problem, right?
Yeah.
What about international shipping and duties if I'm overseas? Are you working with a vendor who has all of that buttoned up?
Yeah.
Right?
The price that you're given is not one thing and then you find out, oh, because you're shipping to...
Oh, well, I mean, look, we put it in your shoes. Let's say you've closed out the program budget with your customer only to receive a post-event invoice after that point from your gifting vendor.
Yeah.
If that doesn't leave a bad taste in your mouth, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
So you want to be working with vendors that have all of that buttoned up, right? Because duties and taxes, the Caribbean is a great example. There's no rule of thumb. You could be duty-free in Cayman or in Jamaica through waiver, but you could be into 30% plus in, you know, Costa Rica or the Dominican Republic. So they're all different. But you need to be aware of that on the front end as you're composing your budget for your client, because once closed out with the client, unless the client's really liberal with you,
no. You're done? You're done. You're not going to show that to
You're going to eat that at that point, right? So there are a number of different pieces. And in fact, we've got to a point in the industry after 20 years where we have a presentation that we've been very excited to present at a number of industry events, whether it's at SITE or whether it's at M&I Forum Americas, that is the seven pillars of gifting. And it's really a presentation to help buyers, whether they're corporate clients or third parties as yourself, to be cognizant of some of the questions you should be asking of your gifting vendors so that you do not end up with egg on your face or jeopardize that $1, $2, or $3 million travel program because you got the gift component wrong.
Yeah.
And so we continue to try and educate. We feel as the pioneer or the gold standard of the gifting experience since 2000 that we owe the industry that in sharing the knowledge that, that we've acquired over that time. I mean, that's how we all get better. And if we're all busy, right?
So. Awesome. Well, we need to wind this down. Super grateful for you to come. So what I want to do is just finish it up with a story of just my personal experience. While I'm doing that, from a gifting experience, it happens to be a Maui Jim story, but if you can think of something during your history while I'm talking into the mic here, and so you can close it out at the end with maybe a story, a personal story of about how a gifting experience either really helped a company or helped an individual, or just it could be an individual that had an emotional experience or a company that saw a great dividend or something from a gifting experience. So you ready? Can you formulate something?
I'll formulate something.
My favorite experience with Maui Jim is we did a small event with a group of our clients, and it was one of our familiarization trips where we were bringing some of our potential and current clients to Maui, and we were staying at the Grand Wailea, checking out that resort, and you did a Maui Jim fitting experience for us. And it was perfect because Maui Jim is a product that works in really any tropical location, really anywhere where sunglasses are needed, which is anywhere. But for this particular program, we're on Maui, and we're giving away Maui Jims. It's at sunset, right next to our luau that's about to start, and we have this one couple, and I won't name who they are because if they listen to this, they might be a little embarrassed, but they came. He's the CEO of the company, brought his wife. She's a former professional that decided to stay home with the kids and a very frugal person. And she walks up to this table, and at first she thinks we're selling these glasses. And so she's a little, I don't know, I guess it was off-putting because she kind of hung back a little bit. And finally I invited her up and I said, you can pick out a pair to take. They're yours. And she came up, and I saw that she started to mist up and get emotional about this. And I put my arm around her. I said, is everything okay? And she just said, I have always loved Maui Jims. And I've seen them at the Sunglass Hut. I've always admired their style. I love the polarized lenses. It's the sunglass that I've always wanted to have. But I see the price point at the mall, and I just could never pull the trigger on it. And I could never spend out of my own pocket that much money for a sunglass. So this goes back to, the value of the gifting experience. And she just stayed the longest time at that table because it was like, okay, like this is now my chance to get my very own pair. I better try on every single one and make sure it's the right fit. And she walked away with the glasses that she wanted. And, that was back in 2012, and I was with her in Thailand just in November, and she took out of her bag that Maui Jim case, cracked it open, and it was the exact pair.
She still had.
From 6 years before.
And she still had. She's done a good job.
And so that, I think, is the power of a gifting experience with value, especially with somebody that really understands the high value of the gift.
Well, you see, that's such a cool experience for her because what the CEO and his wife experienced there is easy then to translate for them as to what the participant will associate with, because now it's creating lifelong memories associating with the sponsor. We're talking 6 years, right? And she still remembers that evening, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what you want participants to remember, right? Oh man, do you remember when we were at the Grand Wailea in Maui and we got our Maui gems? And it was because we were with Company ABC, right? Yeah. Because Company ABC wants you to win again, right? I mean, that's what we're about. We're about improving performance and getting you to exceed your annual target and coming back to win the program and win the trip or whatever it is again. I mean, I remember a few years ago working with a particularly tough client in the cosmetics industry in Mexico, because I also oversee, as well as Northwest the US, I also oversee Mexico and Europe. And they were doing a charter on a Silver Seas cruise in the Med. And they wanted to do Maui Jim, but they equally knew that their Latin American lady attendees might not be overly familiar with the brand, all right? So we said, well, okay, how can we formulate a plan here? You have the ship, which means we've got some liberties we can take because the vessel is ours, theirs. And so what we did is we actually, because it was a 7 or 10 day cruise, wow, or whatever. My colleague from Mexico City, Angie, God bless her, she was on board with another colleague of mine, and they set up individual appointments for each of those winning participants. So rather than doing it necessarily as that group event that we're typically famous for, because there is a dynamic, yeah, when you have 5 or 6 people in front of the table, there's no doubt about that. But in this scenario, they each came for their private appointment, their private experience, their private consultation.
That's cool.
So that Angie could explain the brand. Because, again, these were ladies who were well-heeled, top performers, probably a little bit of brand snobbery in there, yeah, dare I say it. And so it was important that we wanted them to go away wearing the glasses with an understanding of why the brand was special. And so that was a part of that plan, that by the end of that trip, all of these ladies and their husbands are wearing their Maui gems. Because otherwise, if you hadn't done that or teed that up properly, oh yes, I got a nice gift, but I don't really know the brand, or I don't, if it had just been the regular thing. Yeah. So we had to tweak it there. But that's a story that resonates strongly with me, to say, you know, we always have to adapt and continue to be creative.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so great to have you. You know, just to wrap it up, you know, these gifting experiences are just definitely a cornerstone to creating a memorable incentive travel event that really does keep people coming back for more, keep performing at the highest level to make it back to the next trip. It pays dividends. You know, when we create these memories, it pays dividends not only in the company's bottom line, but, you know, ultimately too, when we create these experiences for them individually, their lives are enriched, their lives become better. They're sharing these experiences with people that they love, with coworkers that they're just on teams with, that they've been in the trenches with, and it's so fun to craft and create these memories for people that will, you know, really last a lifetime.
Well, Kip, hey, it's always a pleasure to be here. Love, love, love the new offices.
So thank you.
Congratulations, and look forward to a great year with you. Thank you, son.
Thank you.
Great to have you.
Thank you.